Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Get a spell away? Now, Charlie.
Get his perro, not Charlie. Charlie. Ya sabes que a mí me vale.
Me vale.
Get his perro, not Charlie.
Charlie.
You know that I'm down for the
Welcome to Suplexes and Cervezas with Chavo Guerrero Jr. I'm your host, Chavo Guerrero Jr. Yo, what's going on, everybody? Thanks for jumping on the podcast today. It's looking again like another beautiful day in Southern California. I know that you guys are probably getting tired of me saying that, but it's I can't help it. It's just so nice, especially right now in summer. We got summer going on and just getting right into the thick of things. You know, school's getting out. Everybody's gearing up to just have a really good time this summer. I think because of all the shutdowns from last year, from the quarantine and stuff, that it's going to go crazy. We're all going to be at the beach, and we're going to be at the restaurants, and we're at the bars. And thank God that everybody's getting vaccinated and taking the right precautions and get back to normal life, which I'm sure every one of you is looking forward to, because I know I sure as hell am. Today on the podcast, I have one of my co-stars from Young Rock, Kevin Makeley, who plays Macho Man Randy Savage. Oh, yeah. Kevin's such a cool guy, man. He's a guy that I met on set, and we bonded really fast. He, along with most of all the wrestlers and just the actors, and it was just a really cool cast and crew that we all got together and had a lot of common with, and would all hang out all the time and get together and barbecue and talk about our shooting days. And it was just a really, really good time. But Kevin's got a lot of things on his plate. You know, he's not only an actor, but he's a producer. He creates his own content and has even had the number two show on Netflix, which was called Badlands. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's a cool Western. And he's a guy that's just really, really go-getter, really, really cool guy, and a talented guy for sure. Very musically inclined, not just artsy, but good guy to be in the weight room with, good guy to blast up Metallica or Iron Maiden as we're training hard in that weight room, and one of those guys that you want in your corner for sure. So I hope you enjoy this talk with Kevin Makeley, a.k.a. Macho Man Randy Savage from Young Rock. Part two in the Young Rock series that I'm doing on my podcast, Suplex and Cervezas, to celebrate Young Rock getting picked up for season two. So my first one was Big Matt Willig, a.k.a. Andre the Giant from Young Rock. And this is number two with Kevin Makeley. So if you haven't heard the first one, go back and hear it. It's really, really good talk. We talk about season two, season one, and all the stuff that Big Matt's got going on. And the same thing here with Kevin, a.k.a. Macho Man. So I hope you enjoy this. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and the like button to keep us on the air and coming at you with bigger and better guests. So without further ado, Kevin Makeley is next on Suplexes and Cervezas. Oh, yeah. Yo, what's going on, everybody? I got my boy over here, my good friend that we met on the set of season one of Young Rock, Kevin Makeley, and he plays Macho Man Randy Savage. Ooh, yeah. What's going on, man? How you doing, dude?
I'm chilling in New York. I haven't seen my mother in a long time. I came out here just to shoot a little indie pilot, brought the whole family. Some of my friends, you know, I grew up in New York. Some of my friends out here have never even met my kids. So,
what part of New York?
New York, and it's fantastic, man.
What part of New York are you from? What part of New York?
I was born in Long Island. I grew up in Poughkeepsie, New York, about 90 miles north. And then I'm sure you did some shows at the Civic Center back in
totally,
the day.
Totally, 100%.
By the way, Randy Savage's first WWF appearance was at the Poughkeepsie Civic Center.
Oh, really?
You know, I was young, really young. We probably went because we went to a lot of those shows.
Right.
I can't remember if I went to that exact show, but, you know, but I'm pretty sure. I have friends that definitely say they went to it. But we went to so many, so it's hard to tell, you know.
So you were a wrestling fan growing up, huh?
Yeah, dude. You know, I'm big time back in the day.
That's awesome, man.
I mean, you know, still to today, but not as crazy as.
Well, you know. Yeah. I mean, growing up, I think it was a little bit different back then, man, because it was so it got really mainstream for the first time, really like that, when Vince McMahon started, you know, doing the whole WrestleMania stuff. And it was just such a pop culture type thing. And everybody knows wrestling now, but back then it was like so new. If you weren't like in the wrestling, you know, family and growing up into it, people didn't really know wrestling. They knew it, but they didn't know it until like Hulk Hogan and stuff came out. And then it was like all over, you know. You're New York, so it's a little bit different because, you know, WWF was there and Bruno Sammartino and all those guys. And it was so big in that area. But,
you know, like Metallica. Yeah, Metallica, when they came out with the Black album and Enter Sandman, everyone started hearing about Metallica, but they were a huge band for, you know.
We were already in L.A. They're huge. They're huge. And I was a Hessian growing up, you know, as we've talked about that. And I totally knew Metallica, you know, when they first came out and, you know, One and all that stuff. It was hard, man. It was a little bit hard back then, you know. I look at it now. It's great. Yeah. I look at it now. It's great. It's like, wow. Like this thing is not even compared to the stuff out now. But when it first came out, man, I was like going from Def Leppard to Metallica. I was like, whoa, I don't know. Do I like it? Do I not?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we used to, man, when I was in fifth grade, you know, I remember you used to cover your books with like, you know, brown paper bag, you had book covers on your books. And I remember on one side, I had Twisted Sister, and on the other side, Michael Jackson. Like, I didn't know what I wanted.
Right, right.
You know, but that was in that day.
That was MTV era. So MTV era, yes, I was a Hessian, and we called it, you know, headbanger, whatever you want to call it. But it was... we liked everything. MTV. I mean, we all got together at my buddy's house and we all had our, you know, Ozzy concert t-shirts on and stuff. And we watched the debut of Thriller, you know, on MTV when it first came out.
So good, dude.
Right. We were like, wow, this is amazing. So it wasn't like I was going out and buying Michael Jackson album, but you know, if we were at a party, it came on, you know, hey, we were all, you know, grooving. Right.
It's one of a kind. I mean, I know there's a controversy now, but back then.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, it didn't matter who you were or what you listened to. Michael Jackson was still cool, man.
Yeah, for sure. His music still is amazing. I see all those guitars in the background. So you play bass, right?
Yeah, man.
You play guitar too?
No, I can't do it. I don't say my hands are too big because they're not, obviously. But I'm so used to, you know, this thing.
Right.
You know, I try, yeah, I'm like, I'd rather be spreading it out this way.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, that makes sense. So growing up, you grew up in New York, right?
Yeah, Poughkeepsie.
New York area, whatever you want to call it, New York State, two different, right? New York City and New York State, two different things. Yeah. Right. So growing up there, you watch wrestling, but how did you, were you into drama in high school or anything like that? Did you transition?
Oh, man.
Because now you're music. What are you doing now? Why are you back in New York?
I'm back in New York to shoot a pilot. I'm shooting an independent pilot. I met some really nice indie producers. They actually put out an offer to me, which is nice. It's nice as an actor to get an offer. You know, I'm the bigger name in the pilot, which doesn't say much for the pilot, but it's cool. So I'm here shooting shooting an independent pilot. It's a sci-fi piece. I'm not allowed to say too much about it, but you know, they're keeping a little under wraps. But I'm playing a bad guy that over the, you know, he's a bad guy in the first episode, but as you learn, you know, he turns out to be more of the main character, good guy, you know, down the road, the anti-hero, which is cool. So hopefully that gets picked up and you know, we'll see more of that.
So you're doing that right now. And how did you get into acting, man? I mean, that's one thing that we never really talked about when we were in Australia, you know?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, I come from a creative family. I was just raised by my mother. It's just my mother, my brother, and I, small family in upstate New York, 90 miles north of Manhattan. My mother's from the Bronx and her family's from Plainview, Long Island. So we're, you know, we're in that whole area, you know, the city upstate. And we were a music family. My mom plays piano. I play bass. My brother plays guitar. I was in and out of bands, you know, since I was 14 years old. I mean, right now I'm living my best life. I got the ponytail back here. I used to have hair down to here. I mean, like crazy, you know.
Love it.
So, you know, I didn't cut it because for Macho Man, they're like, oh, don't cut your hair. So I didn't cut it for a couple months. And then I haven't cut it since. Now it's really long. It's cool. I'm reliving my best life, you know.
Yeah.
But music was my creative outlet. But my mother worked, you know, we had no money. So my mother worked three jobs just to put food on the table. Sure. It was my brother and I. So really, we sat in front of the TV for dinner in between her 9 to 5 and her night job. And we would watch Star Trek reruns because she was a Trekkie. Music, house was always filled with music. And then on the weekends, we would go see movies, whatever, you know, we saw everything. It didn't matter if it was PG, G, or rated R, whatever the big movie was. You know, from 5 years old till whenever, we watch, you know, Blade Runner, Star Wars, Star Trek, E.T., Jaws, anything that came out, we were seeing it. So movies and TV were a big part of our lives, and music was a big part of our life. And I never thought that acting, you know, was anything you could do, right? That's what those guys did. But music, I put it in my hand, you know, played, my mom played piano, you know, so I started playing music at a young age and then just progressed into bands and did all that stuff. And then one day, probably my early 20s, there was an ad in the newspaper for a Woody Allen movie called Celebrity they were casting in New York City for like extras and one-line roles and whatever, and come down. And, you know, so I hopped on the train with my buddy Wade, and we went down. He wasn't an actor, but we just palled around together all the time. I stood in line for like 8 hours. And I got my 1 minute with Woody Allen, which was cool. I know he's another controversial dude at this time,
sure.
But you know, but at the time it was Woody Allen, right? You know,
yeah. I'm waiting for you to bring up Bill Cosby next.
I know.
And then I was in this pilot with Bill Cosby. I'm like, what?
I do have a Kevin Spacey story.
Rep by Harvey Weinstein. I'm like, what the heck? You know, no, go
ahead. Oh man, yeah, we're running the gamut. So I did that, and then like, you know, it was cool. And then you know, he just asked me a couple questions and looked at my headshot. He gave me like a full minute of attention, which was cool. And in hindsight, more than a lot of people, even at the level that I'm at now, a lot more attention than you get from some people, which was really cool, right? And there were blocks of people waiting in line. So he gave me that full minute. I guess that's why the line took so long. Anyway, like a month later, I get a call and I get this role, Celebrity, with you know, the movie is Celebrity. Woody Allen. So I'm like a glorified extra. I had a couple lines, shot, and then it was awesome. And I got the bug. And then like a month after that, they call me back. They're like, we have to reshoot all your scenes. Can you come back in? I was like, sure. So I go back in, and they replaced the other actress with Charlize Theron, an unknown at the time.
Oh my God. I think I love her.
So I had scenes with her, and really I'm just,
sure.
They cut my stuff down to basically nothing. They had to reshoot everything. So, you know, but I'm still in it. But I made the poster, which I always thought is cool. So if you'll get Celebrity, there's like, it's like all these different tiles. Right. And there's Charlize Theron like dancing. It's all black and white. And this is me.
I love it.
I'm like, I made the poster. But anyway, I got the bug. I didn't really have any lines. It was like a featured extra. Then I went on to do, I did a lot of extra work like that. And I got a bump up in A Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe.
Oh, wow.
I wound up having a scene with him. And I just realized, I'm like, wow, I could do it. I've worked with Woody Allen. I've worked with Ron Howard, you know, opposite Russell Crowe. And I wound up getting a commercial agent. I booked my very first commercial audition, which was crazy. And then you think, you know, I think Matt Willie has like a very similar thing, right? I remember listening. And then you think, oh man, this is it. But I was still in the bands, and I was, I was working a job in the city because I wanted to live in the city, because my commercial agent's like, you have to live in the city. If you don't live in the city, like, I need to call you. You need to be at the audition. You need to live in the city. Times have changed quite a bit. But at that
time, it's like L.A. You had to be in L.A. I lived in Orange County. It was hard to get that commute right back and forth all the time, you know. So,
yeah, man. So that was it. So I worked in the city. I worked a bouncing job at a bartending job in Poughkeepsie. I'd work till 4:30 in the morning, get in my car, drive to my personal training job at Crunch on Lafayette Street, Crunch Fitness, when they were the big deal.
Yeah.
Train all day till like 3, get in the car, drive home like 2 hours, sleep for 2 hours, and then go to the bartending gig and start all over. I would do that from Thursday through Sunday. And then I would just work the gym from 6 a.m., you know, Monday through Sunday. So I did that so I could find a place, make connections, make enough money. And then I moved to the city and I was doing it. That was training and acting full time. So then the bands went to the wayside because you just can't do it all, man. Acting is like 150% commitment. A band is like 180% commitment.
Right.
I couldn't mix them. So I don't say I gave up the music, but So I just went towards acting and started booking things, you know, and here we are.
That's cool. Now you produce your own content now too, right?
Yeah, man. So that's the evolution, right? So I'm doing the acting and you're at the mercy of Hollywood. And, you know, guys like you and I, right? We're the masters of our own destiny, right? It's like hard when you got to create your own opportunities and you know how hard, you know, your whole family has worked to climb climb the ropes, I should say, right. to stay relevant, stay current, stay on top of it. And same thing with acting and, you know, at the mercy of casting directors and directors and producers and everything. And in this new age where you have digital cameras and so many endless outlets to put stuff up. I mean, look, you're doing podcasts, right? I mean, you create your own content. And, you know, like 10 years ago, somebody said, you know, you need to make your own stuff. You know, there's this thing called YouTube and you make your own stuff and you put it on. I was like, oh, it's ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, who's going to do that? You know? Exactly. And then, you know, like 6 years ago, I got involved with a guy and we made a small movie, a Western, and it came out really well. And so like, let's make movies. And we just started doing it. And then I wound up getting our first three movies. We made them all for collectively $300,000, three movies, less maybe even. One movie literally slept in tents in the Oregon forest in the rain. I did my own stunts. I broke a rib in the back. Oh, like I fell on a rock and it went, I felt it go, you know, I felt it go in me. It was awful and had to shoot for like 5 more days, you know, because what are you going to do? I can't, you know, so shot with a broken rib, wouldn't even go to the doctor because it was like, I know, like I'm just going to. And wound up getting all those distributed by Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. And they're just small movies. One of them's doing super well. This movie, Big Legend, Bigfoot movie. This isn't it. It's just a Bigfoot movie inspired by my love for Bigfoot. And then I got an output deal with Cinedigm Entertainment, was a bigger company. We made Badland, which is a Western that wound up going to number 3 on Netflix.
Nice.
And, and I star in all of them except 2. But anyway, the point is wanted to make my own stuff and it's not rocket science. So anybody, you know, you need a little money, you need some gusto, you need to surround yourself with people that know, you know, that have the same passion that will sweat blood and just work hard to get that dream done. But with digital cameras and, you know, I can edit the whole thing on my laptop. You know, I can edit on my laptop while we're talking, you know, a movie and put it out on Netflix if they accept it. So I just started doing it because, I've been this close a million times. Oh man, you're up for, you know, the lead in this series. Oh, awesome. Or they're looking at you for this, or, you know, you got this part and it falls apart. And so many times. So I started creating my own content and it really took off and I love it. I love producing as much as I love acting.
Right, it's creating.
It's amazing.
I love that too. I love the creating part. Like people ask me, you know, what do you miss being in the ring and, you know, in front of the people? Well, sure. Yeah. That's like, you know, something like unlike anything else in the world, but I really love creating, you know, I've done that. I've been on camera. I've been the one in the ring. I like getting behind the scenes and actually going from like a concept meeting and shooting ideas out and following it all the way through and seeing it on film. I love that. And saying like, wow, we created that. That's incredible. Yeah. Incredible. You know, that's pretty cool.
Man. And there's some good talks about you for this show, man.
Trying, man, you know,
on this thing, but getting some props for your hard work on Young Rock. And I don't know how much you want to talk about, but
a little bit. Yeah, man. You know, there's a couple of different things that as of now we're, got some, we have a really big, that battle royal scene that we did is huge. We'll talk about that in a minute, but that thing, we got some Emmy nods for that because it's really like the first big battle royal scene that was ever shown on network television like that. And then you have, you know, NBC behind it and Seven Bucks Productions. So they made it so good, you know, and people are really starting to like it, man. I'm getting some buzz about that. So we'll see if that, what happens, you know. It's what they say, Hollywood's Hollywood's a fickle bitch, you know, but you know what, still was so awesome just to work with all you guys and even to be considered in the same stunt scene world as all the big ones. It's pretty cool.
But you know, to talk about that for a second, if you don't win, by the way, you're robbed. When has that ever been done before? You know, like in besides, you know, a real battle royale, but that's the guys doing their thing together. You took all actors, non-wrestlers, except for some of those background dudes, right? You know, Maniac Wayne and those guys. But you know, I didn't have any wrestling experience, and I flew off the top rope on the day, bro. On the day. So put all that together. Nobody got hurt for real. Yeah. You know, we all took our lumps, but nobody got hurt. No, you know, nobody went to the hospital. Nothing bad happened. You put that together, bro. We shot that whole episode in a day.
It's crazy. It's
unbelievable. So if anybody deserves that statue, that's you, man. I don't know who else could have done it. And I've never seen it in Hollywood. And maybe if they, you know, people don't know that that was a day. We shot that in a day. That's crazy. It's crazy.
So when we talked, we had a big Zoom meeting and we did it with, you know, with Natch, the creator, you know, and Jeff Chang, the other creator, and Jeff Walker, the director, and then DJ was on it, you know, of course, The Rock, and me and a couple other people, and we're talking about it, and when we showed this big, awesome thing, and Jeff Walker goes, and all that was shot before noon. Everybody's like, what? How did you do that? It was like an Emmy panel we're talking about. And they're like, how did you? And he's like, I don't know. He gave me some props. So we just, you know, it was a good team. We all worked together and everybody was there. There was no prima donnas. Right. Everybody was there to work. And that made it easy, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of times it's not like that. You've worked with some big names, especially in your films. And, you know, I'm sure most of them are pretty good, but there's times that, you know, hey, this guy's a big ass name and he's in this little indie film that usually he's like, oh, well, okay, you know, so whatever, you know, it could be, they're not always cool. How's that? Right.
I worked with some small names that weren't cool. You know, I remember one particular show. I think it was Cold Case. Anyway, I'm kicking this guy. He's got a sandbag. He's on the ground. He's off camera. He's got a sandbag. And I got to sell it. And they want me to stomp my foot instead of kicking, right? And it's just not selling. So they give him this big sandbag, you know, to put in the pad. And I kick it a couple of times. He's like, stop. You know, you're hurting me. And I'm like, I'm hurting you. Like, I'm barely even kicking a sandbag, you know.
It's a sandbag. Hold the sandbag.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey everybody, if you love listening to us here on Suplexes and Cervezas with Chavo Guerrero, what's stopping you from grabbing a mic and starting your own show? And there's no better place to host than Blue Wire Hustle. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. On top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So if you're ready to do more than just listening to us talk about your favorite team, then make your voice heard in Hustle. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. Go to bwhustle.com/join. That's bwhustle.com/join.
You get it. And, you know, and I get it sometimes in the stunt world too. Sometimes I come from the wrestling world where it's just like, you know, hit me, let's go. And stunt world's not always like that. So, and, you know, although these guys are super, super tough, sometimes they're not used to being like actually hit, you know? So sometimes I hit somebody and they're like, hey man, lighten up. I say, all right, I got you. No problem. So let's talk about Young Rock. So now in like a celebration of being picked up for season two, I'm kind of doing a little Young Rock series here, you know, with what first one was Big Matt Willig, who plays Andre Giant, good friend of ours, of course. And then, you know, you're number two in the queue, and hopefully I get the Samoans and yeah, a bunch of other people. Yeah. But let's talk about Young Rock. How did that process go? Did you get a call from your agent? Like what happened? Like, hey, we're casting, you know, this Macho Man character. How'd you get a call?
It's a funny story, man. So in full disclosure, my agent is my brother. I'm actually in his office right now. I'm crashing with him. So his guitars in the back, although that is my bass that I gave him a long time ago, the Area Pro.
Oh,
that is mine, but
nice. Okay.
He keeps it, 'cause I have a lot of basses. So he's my brother.
I still got to get you the uke bass. I play ukulele. You know, we've talked about that.
Right.
And they have that uke bass. That's, dude, awesome. It's killer. It's just little. It's a ukulele bass, dude. It's amazing. But
is it a little bigger?
It's a little bit. Yeah, it's bigger. It's bigger. Right. It's like the size of their a little bigger than their tenor bass. So I mean, their tenor guitar ukulele. So it's when you pull up some stuff on YouTube, you can play anything you play on a bass. You can play on that, and it sounds freaking awesome. Anyways, we'll get back. Okay.
He's been my brother my whole life. He's been my agent for a long time. Started out as my manager, and I was with a different agent. Then he wound up taking over the theatrical department of an agency, and so I went with him, and we've just been together ever since. You know, keeping it in the family. It's awesome. Sure. I mean, it has its ups and downs.
Well, yeah, exactly. We all got brothers and sisters, and it's got up and down for sure.
You know, but what are you going to do, right? I mean, if things break for me, great. You know, it's me and my brother. We did it together. It's awesome. But anyway, so I get a text from him, which I do, like a very urgent, almost scathing text, you know, send me a picture of you looking, you know, dressed as Macho. Oh, well, I'll go back a little bit. So I've been Macho Man several times for Halloween. I make my own costumes all cool. And, you know, awesome. Like, you know, so I've been Macho Man several times for Halloween. He's my favorite wrestler of all time. I still got a thing for him, even though now I get to play him, but you know, so it was awesome. So he knew, he's my brother, so he knew that I was Macho Man for Halloween. So he shoots me a text, send me a picture of you being Macho Man for Halloween ASAP and do it. Because I always flake on him for things. So he's like, right, do it. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So I find an old picture and I send it to him. It's probably, you know, 12 years old already. The next day I get this audition for this, you know, the sides are all mixed up, you know, that the names are changed, and, you know, it gives like, you know, you're the Macho Man, Randy Savage, a gruff talking, kind-hearted, you know, like give a description, like you describe Macho Man is to me. Like they gave me like a clip, you know, like a reference clip. And I think it was like when Macho Man and Elizabeth are getting married, I'm like, this is the reference that you want me to look at for, you know? And they said, you know, said, not a caricature, not an imitation, like, you know, you're playing the man. I'm like, okay. So I just put on pieces. So I you have to put the audition on tape. It's the middle of COVID, right?
Put on tape, sure. Okay.
Yeah. So I put it on. So you have five different scenes, and do a little bit of the costume in each scene. And I'm trying to figure out like, who is he then when he's not being, you know? So I did a lot of research on him, and everybody says, no, he was never not, you know, never not this guy, yeah. But you know, you can't play that and be serious. So I played a little version of it, and I did a little bits of the costume, and I sent it in, and my agent's gave me, oh, great tape. I'm like, oh, thanks. You know, but then I do it on Vimeo, and I send in, and you can check how many views on Vimeo, you know? So I send in, and there's like, you know, five views. Somebody watches five times already. Okay. This is cool. Six views. And then I get the call from my brother. He says, hey man, they love you. You know, they got pin in you. They want to make sure you're available to go to Australia in October. And I think this was July. right, July or maybe early August. So they cast me just before it shot. I think they saw thousands of people, right? And you know, because like Willig was cast, you know, like a year ago, right? Prior to that. So they had been looking for a long time. Anyway, so then I'm watching. Yeah, of course I'm available. So then like it went to like 7 views, 8 views. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And I get a call back. They're like, he's like, you don't have it yet, but I'm telling you, it's you. They're just waiting for DJ. I'm like, DJ, who's DJ? Dwayne Johnson. Oh, exactly. Oh, DJ, right. You know, like that DJ. Right. So you mean The Rock?
Yeah.
They're waiting for a DJ to watch it and give his approval. Okay. And that's like on a, you know, whatever day it was, you know, Friday. So like I every day, all day, 8 views. 8 views, check in, 8 views, next day, 8 views, next day, 8 views. The next day at like, you know, that's at 9 a.m., 10 a.m., 11 a.m., 8 views, 8 views, 8 views, 12 a.m., 9 views. I'm like, oh, half hour later, I get the call. You got it. And I'm like, what? Like, and like, literally I watch it from 8 views to 9 views, DJ watched the tape. I got the call. You know what I mean? It was like, and you know, like in real time, like it was just so cool, man. And I was just like, ooh, yeah, you know, like the whole thing, like, you know, the Makeleys are going to Australia. Yeah. Awesome. And then my wife, you know, we're jumping around. We're so excited. And then she looks at me, she's like, so for the next 2 months, I'm going to have to live with the Macho Man, huh? Because you're just not going to be doing that the whole time. I'm
like, full Jim Carrey. You're like in full like character for 2 months, so right? Funny.
Right. It like bled into my normal life because I like funny, like hanging out with you guys. Right. In between, you know, remember one time Willie was like, he was like, so like just you, or are you doing Macho Man? Are you? I'm like, I don't know, man. It just comes and goes. I can't help it. You know, it's very close to me, yeah. You know, in there somewhere. We're both Italian. Both our moms are both Jewish and our dads are Italian. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
yeah.
So okay. We're both have a little bit of the same kind of, you know, something in there, but anyway, that's it. And then I went to Australia, man. So had my agent not been my brother, not known that I was the Macho Man for all of them, because I guess when he sent them my picture, my, you know, from IMDb, they usually go on that. They didn't see it, you know, like we don't see it. It's a little more clean cut, you know, a little more. They're like, we don't see it. And he was like, send me that picture immediately, do it, you know.
Send me the video of you winning the costume contest at the bar on Halloween 1995, right? And you're like, all right, here you go.
Funny, man. So, you know, it was a lifetime in the making, you know. Yeah. And it was awesome. But, you know, it's like one of those things, you know, you question, you know, like, I love my brother, but it's like, and he's a great agent, you know, it's like, but, you know, would it be better if we kept business and, you know, family, you know, whatever. And it's like, you know, I think all roads led to this regardless, because if my agent wasn't my brother, you know, I have a very similar story to that, not to detract, but I was a couple of years ago, I played Steven Spielberg in this movie, Zeroville. James Franco, bringing up another controversial dude.
I see James Franco. Yeah. Totally. I know Dave Franco really well.
Yeah, that's cool. But, you know, but James Franco now is, you know, is going down the Weinstein path a little bit. You know, they're giving him shit. Seth Rogen won't work with him anymore. But anyway, and he sends me, he texts me the very same way. He said, I need you to take a picture of yourself looking like Steven Spielberg immediately and send it to me. Fucking Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Like, okay. Look at
it. Yes, Spielberg, after he's been competing in the IFBB Olympia for, yeah.
Weird. But my hair was like, you know, like little longer. I had the beard. So I took my favorite aviator sunglasses. I popped them out, you know, so they look like old 80s glasses, you know, and I'm a fanboy, you know, like a comic book geek, much the same. And I had an ET doll. So I found like a old school vintage, like yellow suit, whatever you call it, you know, like, God, what do they call those old suits? Anyway, just,
yeah,
and what is it called? Like old suits,
like
Steve Austin, not the wrestler, but you know, the $6 million man used to wear. What do you call that?
The butterfly jacket.
Oh, it'll come to you, but with like a huge collar, you know, just very.
Sure.
And so I took a picture with ET, you know, with the hair, it looked like, you know, and I wound up booking the role. I guess just off the tape because I think Paul Rudd had the role and Ant-Man went long, so they needed to cast somebody immediately. So I looked enough like him. So I wound up going out and buying a wardrobe that I thought would fit because I knew I'd show up and they didn't realize that I was much, you know, the same dude that could play the Macho Man. So I showed up in clothes that already fit because I knew, because they were fitting me on the day. It was moving so fast. Mm-hmm. So again, if it, you know, my brother was like, I know you're just, you know, inside, you're just a little Jewish guy from Long Island. You can be Steven Spielberg. You know, I know you can do it. I see it. So, opportunities that wouldn't be there if it wasn't a brother
team. So now we're in Australia. You and I, we've never met before. You know, first night was in Willig's room and, you know, drinking and having a good time. And I said, hey, all right, these guys are cool, good dudes, man. And, you know, we started doing some wrestling training and stuff. And I remember, and I told this story when we did this Zoom meeting, you know, this Emmy Zoom meeting. And I talked about it because they had brought up something about, you know, safety wise, and they were concerned because some of the moves look big. And I was like, everything we're doing, I'm 100% safe that I'm 100% sure these guys can do over and over again. Like we've talked about it. I work towards their strengths. I hide their weaknesses, just like we do in wrestling. And they're like, okay, sure. Great. And then you had asked me, hey man, any way I can do that macho elbow in the ring? And I'm like, man, that's a big move. I was like, so really in my head, I'm thinking, oh man, I don't know if we're going to do that. But I kind of told you like, hey man, we'll see. We'll see. Right. You never say never, right? We'll see. So we're there and we're in the middle of battle royal, in the middle of battle royal doing stuff. And then Jeff Walker comes to me and goes, hey, do you think Kevin would want to do the elbow off the top rope? And I'm like, wait one second. And that's when I came to you. Hey man, you want to do the elbow? And you're like, what'd you think?
Right. Hell yeah. but like, oh yeah, when are we going to practice it? Right now.
We were going to shoot it. So basically we were going to shoot. We had 5 minutes to practice. Give me 5 minutes. We threw some crash pads in there. I started you off the mat. We went to the second rope, the first rope, second rope, third rope, figured it out. And we shot it and we did
shot it.
I felt like you were doing it. Dude, it turned out so good afterwards, bro. When we were having a couple beers afterwards, how that was awesome. By the way, you killed it. But oh, man, it was so great to see you in there. And then so anybody watching, if you see that scene, I see him flying off the rope, and we did it with a camera on the ground so that you were flying right off of the top rope into the camera. So they said, just, you know, follow, kind of try to go close to the camera. And you went really close to the camera.
Really close.
I was like, yeah, you could hurt. And, God, thank God. It was all good, you know.
It was funny, man.
That was fun, right?
We second rope, we do it. And then we go to you want to do the top rope? Sure. And I go, and you're like, you know, just make sure you have your balance. Your foot is on, one is on the turnbuckle, one is on the thing, you know, stand up. Don't stand up until you have your balance. You know, even Savage wouldn't do it if he didn't have his balance. So, yeah. So we do the one rehearsal off the top rope one time. And then Walker's like, oh, let's, you know, Jeffrey Walker, the director, you know, let's do it again. I'm like, oh, let's shoot it. Like, I'm ready. Let's just do it. And you're on the inside of the turnbuckle looking out. And I'm on the outside. And you're like, you know, you just look at me like, you fucking do this. You can do this, man. You like smack me in the face. Like, you got this. You got, you know, you're like, and you're like one thing. And I'm like, what? You're like left foot. I'll just never forget it. Not, you know, left foot on the second rope, right foot on the top rope, bang, bang, you're up. And remember, don't stand up if you don't have your balance. And I was like, you know, Jeffrey Walker said that, he said, it was great. Just this time, your eye line is the camera, not the middle of the pad where you think the guy is. Your eye line is the camera. So I'm like, okay. And the camera's like 8 foot pad in the middle of the ring, camera at the corner of the pad, you know, looking up so far away. Right. So I get up there, and I guess just instinctually, and you would know better than me, and you know, but anything else, like when you're driving or shooting or anything, you know, it's whatever you're looking at is what your target is, right?
That's where
like,
you're going.
That's where you're going. So I just instinctually, you know, even I wanted to go to the middle, I was looking at the camera was my eye line, and I flew. Yeah. And I remember, you know, oh, yeah, I'm coming down, and there's that camera. And I was just like, I didn't want to break, you know, I didn't want to pull. I just was like, whatever, you know, if I hit it, I hit it. You know, we got to get the shot. And like, you know, I remember people like, you all right, everything right? And, you know, they thought that I hit the camera, but I didn't hit the camera.
Bro, it couldn't have been better. It couldn't have been, you couldn't have done it better. Like, it was perfect. Like, literally flying towards the camera, 1 inch the other way, it would have been too short. The 1 inch towards the camera, you would hit the camera. It was just a perfect shot. Like, that whole... that whole battle royal scene just came out so good, man. It could have come out atrocious. It could have been horrible.
It could have. I remember the one dude with the, you know, well, a lot of guys had really long hair, but he was like, oh no, he wouldn't have long. Anyway, he was like, I want to do the nut breaker. He wanted, and that scene is in there. Like, gets his. I'm like, you volunteering for that shot? Okay,
that's right. Yeah. He wanted to.
Guys were all about it. Remember, I went over the top rope and with Brett, with the, you know, with the Sheik, and my hair got caught. And it's that same thing. It's like, you don't want to break. And I couldn't get out and he didn't realize. And, you know, so I just ripped myself off and we keep going. And it was like that chunk of hair. You gave it to me later, that chunk of hair.
So I talked about that in the Zoom meeting also. So we're literally talking, it was called skin. We did the skin, the cat it's called, to where Iron Sheik and Macho Man, who was played by Brett and Kevin, they went over the top rope in this, like rolling over, and Iron Sheik held on as you fell down. Iron Sheik rolled back into the ring over the top rope. So when that happened, I saw your hair get caught and it get ripped out. I'm like, oh God, I try not to sell it. Like, And you know what? Jeff Walker didn't see it. Nobody else saw it. So I saw it and it kind of went over to you like all nonchalant. I'm like, hey, are you okay? And you're like, yeah, I'm okay. I'm like, can you do this again? And he's like, yeah, I can do it again. All right, cool. So then as I'm walking away, the wrestler in me, I look down, I see that chunk of hair and I said, this will probably come in handy sometime. I put it in my pocket, right? I gave it to you later that night. Hey man, you may want this.
I sold that shit on eBay for $50.
I know, but that was, bro, that just turned out so well, man. Literally, I was so like happy, you know. And then editing's a different story, you know how that goes. I mean, you could have the best film out there, editing could kill it, or you could have a okay film and editing can make it.
Yeah.
But so, you know, we do our part and, you know, we got to let everybody else do their part. And they did. I was awesome. So happy with the whole thing.
Man, I was so amped up. We showed up in the Macho trunks, you know, like.
Right.
And there wasn't a full stadium, but there was five rows of extras around the whole thing. Everyone was cheering. They had signs, you know, love you, Savage. And it was like. So amped up. I remember Willie was like, man, come fuck the anime. I'm like, hell no. I'm like, I'm too amped up, man. I want to live this, you know,
right.
I want to be in, I want to fill these boots right now. I was just having a blast. And then I remember, you know, the bell dings, I'm up on the second rope, you know, like, you know, the audience, you know, my thing, just, you know, showboating. And I jumped down and I'm like, Matt and I were working something out and I'm like, I'm going to come to you. Just chop me for fun. And he was like, and then you approved that. You're like, oh yeah, fuck, do that shit. Yeah. Fuck, yeah. Do it, but make sure you chop him, you know.
Got to hit him. Yeah. Yeah. That's big old
feet up in the air,
big old paws of his. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I tell you, if you hold back, right? Like if I was to try to just throw myself back to a half-ass chop, I'd probably get more hurt than just letting the momentum take me and slam me backwards, right? Because it's like, bam, bam, you know, I can break myself hitting the ground, but if it's half-assed, who knows how you're going to land? I don't know. I just felt safer the harder he hit me.
Yeah, you got to go for it. It's like, you know, playing football or playing any other sport. If you're, you know, gingering it out there, if you don't go full blast, you're not going to make it. You know what I mean? It's going to hurt. Yeah. It hurts less, you know, just by just going full force.
And your adrenaline is up too, I guess, right?
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know, and thank God you guys were all athletes, because people don't know that we didn't have any time to put that together. Really. We literally put that together in like a day or two and then we shot it, you know?
Right.
And that was something like, thank God you guys were athletes, because like, it could have gone so bad. There was so much stress. I mean, I tried not to show it with you guys, but I was like, it is what it is. It's either going to be good or it's not. But I'm like, you know, this is Dwayne Johnson's thing. You know, this is my boy's show. We got to make it good. And everybody was so happy with it, man. And it's paying off, you know, everybody's giving us a prop. So that's really cool, man. So as we're getting kind of winding down a little bit here on Suplex and Cervezas, I know you got a heart out there. We do a thing at the end. It's called rapid fire. And basically I throw some questions at you and there's no right or wrong answer. You basically say what you like and what you don't like. And it's just a way for your fans to kind of get to know you more. You cool? You down with that?
Sure, brother.
All right, cool. So Were you a Arnold Schwarzenegger fan or a Sylvester Stallone fan?
Yeah, brother, Stallone all the way.
Stallone, right?
I'll put a caveat. Stallone is my boy. I love Sylvester Stallone. They're both my guys, right?
Sure.
And Schwarzenegger, huge fan. Conan is one of my all-time favorites, but Rambo is my one of my go-to inspirations. I know as an actor that people might think that's not aspiring too much, but Stallone is one of the most talented dudes out there, writing, directing, producing. I mean, he's the model that I actually turned into for myself, right? And I didn't know that at the time, but growing up with a single mom with no father figure. And Rocky and Rambo were out, like, that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to look like that. I wanted to be tough like that. I wanted the values like that, that he was, Stallone is my father figure. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I did, follow in the footsteps. I did competitive bodybuilding, all natural, never did steroids. I competed in the natural circuit. So it was guys like Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Van Damme, that kind of really influenced, movies influenced who I am. Bodybuilder like Schwarzenegger, tough like Rambo, and I have the values of a Jedi. It's like everything that I hold true to myself is, I learned from the movies, which is weird, but that was my, my father figure. So anyway, Stallone hands down, but a very second close runner up, Schwarzenegger, but Stallone.
I love it. Yeah. There's no right or wrong answer, man. It's cool. So were you a beer or wine guy?
Beer for sure.
Beer. Yeah, I'm saying. Bourbon or tequila?
Bourbon.
Bourbon.
No offense.
I just had a super good bourbon, man, the other day here. And I've been bringing it into old fashions, so I'm doing the whole old fashioned thing with, the real good old fashioned recipe. And I got the really good, like $25 jar cherries. Like I went to town on it.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I like a nice Manhattan.
Manhattan's a good too.
And it's got to be like so cold.
Cold.
And it's milky looking,
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, so my hands are good too. Yeah. Steak or fish?
Steak.
Okay, so getting into some music stuff. We're both 80s rockers. Were you a Judas Priest fan or an Iron Maiden fan?
Iron Maiden, son. Don't even get it out of your mouth. Iron Maiden. I love Priest, but
yeah.
Maiden is my second favorite band of all time. Next to Rush is my favorite band. I didn't screw up a different question.
But. No. That's a great group. Van Halen or Van Hagar?
Van Halen.
Were you an Eddie Van Halen fan or a Stevie Ray Vaughan fan? Shredders.
Yeah, well, I'm a shredder for sure. I mean, I appreciate both because I'm a musician, but
right.
Eddie Van Halen for sure. Rest in peace. Well, both rest in peace, but
for sure.
Recently, rest in peace.
Blondes or brunettes?
Brunettes.
Weights or CrossFit?
Weights.
As I get older, I start doing some CrossFit stuff, but I still got to throw weights in there,
Yeah.
Are you a classic car guy or a new car guy?
Classic all the way. My first car was a 70 Chevelle.
Oh, yeah.
And my high school car was an 81 Trans Am Smoking the Bandit 2 limited edition.
Wow. I should have held on to that one.
I was literally that dude. Hair down to here, tight jeans, chain on the wallet, Converse sneakers or high tops, white high tops with the big tongue, a long hair and a chain driving a Trans Am. I was that dude.
You should have held on to both those cars. Those are cool. Two cool cars, man.
Cool cars.
Yeah. All right. So now let's tell a bit, what do you got going on now? As far as you're in New York filming an indie show. Anything else you got going on you want to plug?
Yeah, man. I just, psyched. I just had a Deadline article released last week. Just acquired my producer. So I have this production company called Papa Octopus Productions. That's what we call it. And it was born, I can tell you the story how that name came up. It was born out of some weird radio transmission on set while we were shooting a movie. And what did you say? Anyway, it turned into the joke and it became the company. But we just acquired the rights to this book, a graphic novel. It's like a young adult novel, but it's kind of like a graphic novel by this comic book / author, regular author, Blake Northcott. This girl, she's from Canada. She's amazing. She's written Catwoman. She's written Fathom. She's doing the Evanescence graphic novel, the band Evanescence. Yeah. She's got stuff published through Heavy Metal Magazine. Anyway, she wrote this book called The Omega Artifact. And it's basically, man, it's one character is, is, you know, 007. The other one is Murtaugh
Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon. And it takes place in the Magic universe. It's basically the CIA. It's called the Omega Artifact. The CIA has a division. Magic is real. Like, they've uncovered certain things and they're weaponizing it and they're like policing it. So every country has their own like magic division. They're trying to keep it quiet. So it's basically like, so it's like Lethal Weapon meets Harry Potter. And so that's a book. I got the rights to the book. She wrote the script. I'm starring as the Riggs character, the other guy. I really like Idris Elba. If you're listening, I'm going to put an offer out to you in about a year or so when this goes into full production. But I just got the rights to it, awesome. You know, full on. I'm working with the writer. You know, and my partners as well, my partner Jennifer Ambrose, and it's gonna be awesome. So I'm psyched about that. I got a Badland comic book coming out, a digital comic book. Scott Lobdell wrote it. I don't know if you know Scott Lobdell. He wrote Happy Death Day. Mm-hmm. He created a lot of X-Men characters in the 90s. He created Onslaught and Marrow and a bunch of, you know, and he's been writing comics, you know, forever. So he wrote it. We've got some great artwork, and it's being animated right now. So we're doing like this motion comic. You know, story that takes place, like, it's basically how my character Matthias Breacher meets the senator in the movie, the Tony Todd character, Senator Burke, Benjamin Burke, and it's like the origin story of that. It's 5 issues, 10 pages an issue, so instead of like multiple multiple panels, each page is a panel. And it's loosely animated, you know, or like, you know, your arm will move and, you know, the mouths aren't moving, but it's an animated comic book. So I do mine. Tony Todd reprised his role. He's a sheriff in this, not the senator. The Big Show, Paul White, voices a character. It's awesome. Yeah. And Stacy Leilua from Young Rock, who plays, you know, The Rock's mom. She plays the woman in the role. So my love interest. I'm not going to spoil what happens.
Oh, awesome.
And it's for charity, for the Actors Fund. So everybody donated their voices, donated their time. Wow. My animator donated his time. It's fantastic. Scott Lobdell donated his writing. We've been working on it for a while, but it's for COVID relief, for, you know, because the entertainment business got hit hard. Huge. Some of it really took off, you know, but the actors got hit really hard.
Yeah.
But the Actors Fund covers everything, covers, you know, from a guy who, you know, hands out ticket or takes your ticket at a movie theater to an actor in a show or a producer or a crew member. Like, even you would be covered because you're in that side of the business. Anybody in entertainment can get help from the Actors Fund. So it's a good cause. So that's coming out pretty soon. And then I have another project called Hammurabi's Chair. We're shooting in August. Not sure yet if I'm playing a character in it, but I'm producing it with through my company and a couple of friends of mine. It's a horror thriller. And right now we have Bruce Campbell attached to lead it. So I got a Bruce Campbell, you know, thriller horror coming out in the next year or so. Super psyched about that, brother.
That's awesome, man.
That's great. So,
hustler, you know, man. You hustle. That's what it's about, man. You always got a lot of irons in the fire, they call it, right?
A lot of Iron Maidens.
That's it.
But, brother, I mean, while we're on here, I'm telling you, you know, I love your style. And not that I'm NBC or anything, but I would love to work together and do your fight style, you know, is very, it's grounded in realism, but it has this flair to it. You know, like, I know martial arts and whatever, but I think, what I really like in a movie is a brawl, but a brawl on another level. Like you see, you know, like what DJ does, right? He has this, you know, where he's using his strength and doing these, you know, like throwing people, you know, but with grounded in this realism, but the things that you want to see that are over the top. And I think your style is great. So I would love to collaborate when it applies to the project and work it, put you in it if you want to be in it as well.
Oh, yeah.
And,
you know, work together with my boys, man. That's what it's about. Work with your friends. I always say
put
that.
Put you on the spot on your own podcast.
Let's do it. Yeah. No, I'm down. I'll say yes. I'm saying yes right now. You know what I like about that? About like my style, the whole martial arts type thing was a cool fad for a little bit, but it's like no one can really actually do that, you know, like in a real life type thing. And I understand we're in a fantasy world when we're doing, you know, movies. I get it. But there still has to be some type of realism in there, you know? Like when you start defying the laws of gravity, unless it's the Matrix, then the people lose me. That's when they start losing me. Like, oh, yeah, okay. I want to be lost in the, you know, the fight. So once somebody starts floating, unless, like I said, it's the Matrix, then I'm like, oh, okay, you can't do that. It doesn't make any sense. So that's kind of what I do in my fight scenes. Fight scenes are, it's real. Same thing about wrestling, basically. It's you do what you, you keep it as real as you can. You know, I get it. I've been in 100 bar fights and I've never shot anybody to the bar and they came back to me. That never happened. You know what I mean? So in the ring, you know, I get it. It's wrestling. We have some leeway, but there's times that you shoot and sometimes you don't shoot, you know? So there's logic to everything. And once you put that into your fight scenes, it makes a lot more sense. And people are like, you can still do some cool, big stuff. I've seen some cool, big stuff in real life that you can kind of do that, that it's still not going to, it's still realistic in a sense, you know?
Right. And so, I mean, it's the movies, right? So you want right. to, yeah, I remember, you know, choreographing one thing actually for that show Cold Case. And I worked with a stunt coordinator. He's like, well, just not while you're not boxer, kickboxer. He's like, all right, we're going to do this, this. And the director came over. He was like, you're fighting in a bar. Like, and the character was a boxer, right? So we were boxing. And he was like, it doesn't play. He was like, I want you swinging for the fences. Haymakers coming. Whoa. And ever since that day, I mean, you can even see it if you watch Badland, mm-hmm. I have this brawl with this guy and, you know, this big guy. Omid Zader, fantastic dude, stunt coordinator, fantastic actor. Anyway, but we fight and I wanted it to be real. Like right. we're trying to kill each other, but we're two guys that fighting, you know? So yeah. one guy gets hit, he goes down, he's tired, he's coming, you know, like you just try to make it realistic and fun, a little over the top, but not in a martial artsy way. Just big punch.
I did saw a Badlands. We saw it in Australia. When you left, we all put it on. We're like, hey, let's watch Kevin's movie. We all put it on. In my room, and we all hung out and watched. It was good, bro. It was really good. Nice. I liked it. We loved it.
Appreciate it. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
So where can anybody find you at?
Twitter, Instagram, I believe at kevinmakely.com, M-A-K-E-L-Y, not .com. Well, that too, but you can do popoctopus.com is my website for my company, at Kevin Makely for Instagram. I think Kevin_Makely for Twitter. It's about the ones that I do.
So, awesome. And we got season 2 Young Rock coming up. We're still waiting to find out details. And we're always talking like, hey, man, what's going on? Do you have anything? No.
I know. But have you heard anything?
No. But there's season 2's ago. We just don't know details yet. So we're all stoked on that. We're all hoping we're going to be a big part of it again. And we do it again. So, brother, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me, man. It was a great talk.
Next time, when you do a Bigfoot one, I wore this in honor of you.
I'm telling you.
I'm a big Bigfoot believer. I'm a big fan. And I have Bigfoot Encounter. We'll talk about it. You know, we don't do it on this one, obviously.
I'm with you on that. And I just talked to, there was an actor named Frankie Loyal. He's in Mayans. And he plays in the Mayans. We'll scratch that. We'll come back to that. Jonathan, just edit that part out. But he plays in the Mayans. He's one of the biker gangs, biker guys in the gang. And we were talking on set one time. I did something on their set, and somehow that came up. And he's like, "All right, man, we got to sit down and talk." I go, "Really?" And he goes, "Oh yeah." So he's got something juicy. I just don't know what it is yet. But we'll do a Bigfoot episode, man. We'll talk about it. I'm totally down with that.
I'm not afraid to say I believe. So,
yeah, I'm a big fan, and I believe, I don't know what extent yet, because I've never had an encounter, and I hope I don't, but at the same time, yeah, I'm definitely a believer, so.
Right on.
Brother, thanks a lot, man. Again, season 2 coming up. Keep an eye on Kevin over here. Kevin's got a big things coming up, and really cool talking to you, bro, again. Getting
you, brother, man. Great to see you. Great to talk to you. Thanks for having me on, man.
Thanks, brother. Get his pants on!